All right, take out the Bible and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. I had a word that just wouldn't go away this week that I want to share with you. Every time I got still, I kept hearing this in my spirit. And so I want to share this word with you today. I'm calling it a key to advancement in the kingdom. But the keynote verse and the background verse is Luke 16, verse 10. And this is a verse that many of you know, but we want to build on it a little bit today. The Bible says in Luke 16, 10, it says, "He who is faithful..." Okay, wait a minute. Everybody's still looking. Did I give you the wrong verse? Are we okay? Is it Luke 16, 10?
Yeah, you said Luke 10 first.
Luke 10 first? All right, everybody pray for me. I'm getting my words turned around this morning. Father, I'm relaxed, maybe a little too relaxed. Okay, Father, help me to be able to hear from you and get my words straight this morning in Jesus' name. The Bible says in Luke 16, 10, it says, "He who is faithful in what is least is..." Do you notice that word is? "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much." So what he's saying here is saying there's a direct correlation between how you're handling what's going on in your life right now and what God's going to be able to give you in the future. Somebody said, "Uh-oh." Well, praise God. There's always grace, and God, things can change today. But he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust or unfaithful in what is least is unjust or unfaithful also in much. Now, I may be deceived, but I believe that I'm in a church of people who want to grow in the Lord. How many of you say, I do. I want to grow in the Lord. I really want to grow in my maturity in Christ. And I also believe that I'm in a church where people want to be found with the character of God and be used for great things in the kingdom. Is that right? Is that where we are? Okay, well, I hope so. Well, in the passage that we just read, Jesus gives us a glimpse into a key to advancement in the kingdom of God. So those of you that are seeking to grow in maturity in the kingdom, and those that of you who are seeking to have the character of God and to be able to be entrusted with more in the kingdom, Jesus just opened a door into how that can come to pass in your life. And so those who are seeking to be used for great things should perk up and take notice of what Jesus is saying today. Some very important things are going to be released today, and some smart people, some wise people are going to reach out and they're going to grab them. And these keys are going to unlock some spiritual doors. Spiritual doors that lead to maturity, spiritual doors that lead to spiritual progress, spiritual doors that lead to increased spiritual responsibility. And so today, if you are willing, then those keys are going to be made available to you. And when you have these keys, then God is always the God who is excited about seeing you walk through new doors. Amen? Amen. So are you ready to take possession of some keys today? Okay. Well, then let's talk a little bit about it. To take possession of the keys to advancement, we got to understand exactly what Jesus is saying to us in this verse as being a key. A key, not the only key, but a key into which, a key that opens many doors for us in the kingdom. So, to advance in the kingdom, what do we need to do to advance in the kingdom? Well, the first thing we need to do to advance in the kingdom is to realize that nothing is unimportant. Now, I'm not talking about getting crazy and OCD and frenetic and worried and all of those type of things. But I am saying this. Every single person in here who is a believer has been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been bought by him. You're a servant of God. You're also a steward of what God has. In other words, he has placed access to and management of his riches and his glory and his power into your life. He has entrusted it into you and into your life. And Jesus said that he who is faithful in the little is or will be faithful in much. And so what I learned a long time ago when I was first seeking to grow in the kingdom of God is I learned that nothing that I did in my life as a believer and as a steward of God with responsibility to show forth his glory and his work in my life, I learned that nothing was unimportant. I learned that everything that was happening in my life was building character in me. It was a reflection of who my Lord is. It's a reflection of what pathway that I am on. So, you as people need to learn to embrace the fact that everything in your life, since you're a kingdom person, everything you do and everything you touch is kingdom activity. Okay, let's go back and say that again. Since you're a kingdom person, entrusted with kingdom power and kingdom realities, then everything you touch and everything you're involved in is kingdom business. All of it is kingdom business. There are a lot of us that live our lives with a rating system when it comes to activities and attitudes. We rate some things as very important to God, and some things we rate as not important to him at all, and as being something that we have discretion over as to how we want to use it or what we want to do with it, how we want to handle it. But if you really understand this scripture and you really know what Jesus is saying and you also understand what happened on Calvary, then you understand a very powerful truth that leads you into a place of advancement in the kingdom, a place where it leads you into a possibility to go from where you are into another realm in the spirit, a place where you can have a release of greater anointing upon you than what you currently are carrying in your life. And that is that nothing is little with God. Nothing is little with God. It's all important. I remember when I haven't always been a pastor. I mean, I worked in the secular world for many years. As a matter of fact, God really prepared me for the ministry by working in the secular world among people in business. He really did that, and that is a great training area for ministry, because you're not working around a bunch of Bible thumpers. You're working around a lot of people that are in mixed situations in their lives. Some of them believers, some of them call themselves believers that are not, and some that are just lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Okay? And it gives you a great opportunity to be able to get out there and learn how to be faithful in what is little so that you can be found faithful to be entrusted with greater things. And I can remember I had a fear of man, a pretty strong fear of man operating in me when I was first born again. And I had a tendency sometimes to shade the truth or lie to people. Anybody other than me understand what a lie is? Anybody know what one is? And I had always talked to God and said, God, I want to be an accurate reflector of your glory and your presence. Well, one time when I said a lie to somebody, the Lord came in my spirit with this word that said, you just lied to that guy. Well, I immediately went to my rating system to evaluate how important or unimportant what I had just done was. And I showed God my rating system. Okay, I really did. When God said, you just lied, then I brought out my rating system. And I said, but Lord, if you'll look on this order of priorities here and this thesis on character building, It says here, I have written here, that this lie that I told this man really has no effect upon his life. It's not going to affect anything. It doesn't affect my work because it didn't have anything to do with my work. Okay? And really, if you just let it go, it has absolutely zero effect in the vast scheme of things. Right here. It's listed right here. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Parkey, he said, you have asked me to live in you. And I said, yes. He said, you asked me. You have desired to be a carrier of my glory. Is that correct? And I said, yes. And he said, okay. He said, therefore, the lie is important. It is an important thing, the lie that you just told. I said, well, the guy doesn't even know I lied, and he'll not know I lied. He said, well, he's going to know in a few minutes because you're going to go back and tell him you lied. I said, oh, no, you don't understand. This lie has zero effect upon what's happening in the world. I mean, it doesn't even affect anything. He said, it affects you. He said, it affects you. And he said, you told me you wanted to have godly character. Did you mean that, or was that also a lie? And I said, well, Lord, I mean that. He said, everything that you let go and you tolerate in your life opens a door for greater toleration. And he said, everything that you're letting go, that you let go in your life that's not of me, poisons the ability for you to be used at a higher and greater level, destroys it. Now, how do you feel about it? And I said, well, Lord, I really do want to be used by you, and I want your glory to be seen through my life. And he said, well, then you go back over there and you tell the guy you lied and you apologize for it. I said, well, the guy's going to think I'm crazy. He said, but I'm going to like it. So the Lord, I'm going to like it. And so I did. I went back over there and I apologized. It was very awkward, but I apologized to him and I walked back over, and then the Lord spoke to me and said, you don't realize the power of what you've just done. You don't understand the power that you have just released and the revelation, not only in your own life, but in the man's life. He said, because that man has been, unbeknownst to you, has been asking, is God really real or is this just a bunch of hooey? And he said, now he knows that there is a God who cares enough about him to see that a young man there in the office tells him the truth. There's a God that cares enough. And you know, I was so thankful after I had done that I had obeyed God. I was so thankful. The way you clean toilets is important. The way you treat your mother-in-law is important. The way you treat your wife is important. How you talk in front of others is important. The way you pay your bills is important. Whether or not you have sex outside of marriage is important. Okay, don't turn and look at each other. And I said that when a bunch of people started looking around at each other. Okay, this is a word to you. Okay? So let's keep it, instead of trying to convict somebody else, all right? Let's keep it in ourselves. How you work on your job is important. You understand that? Okay, so there's nothing that's unimportant in the kingdom realm. Now, I'm not saying God's going to get you up tomorrow and tell you what color clothes you have to wear. There are some things that he revels in our ability to express his glory. But if he does tell you, do what he tells you to do. I think that'll be rare, but if he does tell you that, do it. Everything you do and say tells a story about your character and about your true submission to God. All right, everybody got that? So everybody say, I need to realize that nothing is unimportant. I must throw away my rating system and live according to God's truth. Amen. That's a door to growth in the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, all right. Second thing, stop looking for a better opportunity and use the one you have. Stop looking for a better opportunity and use the one you have. Many people find themselves in situations in which they have very little to work with. And I understand that. And I have been found in that situation before, where there's just very little at that point in time for me to work with. And so here's what you have a tendency to say many times when you get in that situation. You have a tendency to say something like this: well, someday when I have more, I'll obey God. Now I just can't. I don't have enough to obey Him. And really, that's a conversation that many of us have with God. And this type of thinking may seem logical to us, but remember, God's not looking at someday to determine your usefulness. What's He looking at? God is looking at what we are doing when? Right now. Right now. He who is unfaithful in little is. He who is faithful in little is. Okay, so He's looking at what is happening in the now. Now, everybody get your toes covered. I don't talk about this a whole lot, but I am going to talk about it today because Jesus did. This attitude's particularly prevalent when it comes to money. If you notice, the scripture that we read from Luke 16 is found right in the middle of a talk Jesus is having about money and how the use of money reveals submission to Christ and the ability to be used by Him. Did you know how you use your money is one determiner of how God can use you spiritually? Really? It is. It's not. I'm not saying you're trying to buy your way into a fraternity. This isn't a country club in which you pay entry fees and then God says, hey, you're usable. But God is looking at how we handle everything. Everybody say everything. Everything in our life to determine how trustworthy we are going to be if we are entrusted with more. Now let's read verses 11 through 15 there in Luke 10. In verse 11, it said, Luke 16. I did Luke 10 again. Luke 16. Maybe I'm saying that because that's where I'm at in my Bible. Luke 11 through 15 says this: therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Oh, it's quiet. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And what is it about us that when a pastor starts reading these things, our hackles just get up? I mean, Jesus is talking here. This is in the red. It's in the red in my Bible. Isn't it? Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, their hackles got up when Jesus said these things. Isn't that what the next, I mean, that's a little bit of a Texanized version. But in verse 14, isn't that what it says? Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, their hackles got up when they heard this, and they derided Him. And He said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Selah. Pause and think for a minute. It's easy, like the Pharisees, to get all religious and indignant about this. But like I said, these are the words of Jesus. God will multiply what you have, so let Him use it. If you think that what you have looks too little now, wait till you get more. Some of you are saying, well, when I've got more, I'll obey the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. This is a phenomenon that you may not realize, but the more numbers that get in your checkbook, the smaller they look to most people. to the vast majority of people. The more numbers that enter into your checkbook, the smaller it looks. Because we have a desire and a goal. And you know what our desire and goal is? God, I finally got to the place where I don't have to live by faith. Oh, that's been my goal all along, is to get to the place where I have enough money, where I don't have to depend upon you for my provision. That's just too hard. Okay, we're being real today. All right? I don't know if anybody realizes that, but that's, I'll tell you, sometimes when I think about and God starts talking to me about increase, you know, one of the things that comes into my mind, I'm going to be real honest with you, is praise God, it'll get me to the place where I don't have to depend every day, you know, and wonder every day where everything's going to come from. And I'm not saying there's anything necessarily holy about that, okay? But that's really, we want to get to the place where we're in control. And when you get to the place where you're no longer having to pray and think about what your provision, where your provision is coming from, you'll be surprised about how hard you'll fight to stay there. Oh, come on now. Somebody slap the person next to you and wake them up. Wake them out of their la-la land. You get $10 million and in your hand and you're going to give one away. You say, $1 million, that's a lot of money. That only leave me with nine. I'm not even in double digits anymore. Now I'm sliding toward bankruptcy and poverty and prison and scandal. Really? Seriously, it happens. And Pastor Bob's had it. He had a guy in his church one time that was had tons of money. And the guy wouldn't tithe. And finally, one day it came up in a conversation. He goes, well, I can't give the church that much money. He goes, it'll ruin the church. So it sounds like it's already ruined you. Maybe you need to practice giving some away, because it's ruining you now. Who made you God over finances? Your job's to obey the Lord. Not sit there and decide who gets what. That's God's decision. But do you see what I'm saying? You're really going to have to understand. Right now, you've got to make up your mind what kind of person you're going to be as God blesses you in the future. You got to make up your mind right now. That's why I have told y'all over and over and over and over. You need to be asking God right now at what level you're supposed to live before he blesses you. Because after he blesses you, then, you know, there can be some additions can come on. You understand what I'm saying? Ask him now. Ask him now. And then when you get all of that money coming in, then you'll know it what's supposed to be yours and what's supposed to go out to the kingdom. You'll already know. There won't be any confusion about it. But I'm telling you, you think it's hard to give $10 to give a dollar when all you got's 10? You know what? You know what the logical thinking on that is? I only got 10 anyway. What's a dollar? What's the difference a dollar gonna make? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's only gonna go so far anyway. Well, what happens to that logic when you're writing that $5 million check? Golly, that's only going to leave me with $25 million. We're getting down to nothing here. We're getting down to nothing. I've known people. Man, they get a hold of some money, and Parky Coburn was this way. That's why I can talk about this. They get a hold of some money. God may have blessed them with money, and they act like a pauper. Not necessarily when it comes to themselves, but when it comes to protecting that money, it's like, oh my God, I got this money and there ain't no way I can lose this money and there's no way I'm going to go back to where I was before. And boy, I tell you what, I'll fight over this money. And they even ask other people to fund things when they've got the money to do it themselves. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? How do you think that looks to God? I mean, let's get out of our chair and go up and look at God for a minute. How do you think that looks to him? He's like, gee whiz, if God says gee whiz. I don't know. All right, let's get off of that one, and let's move on. Somebody said hallelujah. Let's get off of that one. All right. Number three, Don't get your head stuck in the fence looking at someone else's pasture. You ever seen a stupid cow? Got his head through the fence eating grass from the other side of the fence when he's got grass on his side, it's just fine. But he's got his head through a barbed wire fence getting cut and stuck and everything else just to eat grass that's just on the other side of the fence, right there. Instead of watering his grass or pooping on it, so there'll be an incentive for the grass to grow on his side using what he's got, he's through the fence. Many are so busy comparing what God's doing in their life to what God's doing in their neighbors, they can't be grateful. And so you know what happens? They start complaining instead of speaking the word. In 2 Corinthians 10:12, I've read this before, but it doesn't matter. It says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. Here's the important thing. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. It is not wisdom for you to look at your neighbor and compare your life to them, especially if you are doing everything you know to do to obey God. Okay? James 3:16. This is going to set somebody free today. This verse. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are present. So in other words, if you're envious of your neighbor, you know what that does? That opens the door for confusion to operate in your life. Confusion. Why doesn't God love me? Why doesn't he treat me the same way he treats them? And you start questioning your status and your stand in relationship with the Lord when you're envious of other people. And being envious of other people really has a baseline motivation of selfishness to a degree. All right? And God's saying when we're doing that, all that's doing is open the door for the devil to bring confusion into our lives about our stand in Christ and how much he loves us. All right? I once heard a wide person say, always be first at lunch. That's not what I meant to say. I once heard a wise person say, the grass is always greener over the septic tank. Okay, can you sit and think about that one for a few minutes? Some of you are looking in each other's yard and you're seeing how green the grass is. You don't know how much poop they had to undergo to get that grass that green. Really? I remember we lived in this beautiful house in Aledo one time, way over really what we could afford. I don't know. But anyway, no, not really, I guess. But the house had been built by not a builder, but got really a man had built the house, and we had septic problems in that house. And I mean, here you are, you live in this really nice house and all of that, but there's always this lingering smell. What's that smell? The grass was really green. It really was. It grew tall. The grass over that spot outgrew the grass, over the other. But there was something underneath. And so, when you're looking at what's happening in somebody else's life, you need to consider you don't know what's underneath, to cause that. So get your head out of the fence and start just, instead of living a results-oriented faith, here's another thing that's going to set somebody free today. So many of us live a results-oriented faith. Well, what are the results of my faith? What are the results? Do I have more money? Am I advancing? Is my career advancing? Da 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 da. Results oriented faith. Instead of living a results oriented faith, begin to live an obedience oriented faith. An obedience oriented faith. How you gauge how successful you're being is, am I obeying the Lord? Rather than what is happening. Because when you're looking around at what's happening, then That's a recipe for unhappiness. So instead of saying, well, what are the results? I'm still not rich, been given for years. Is that the goal? Really? Instead of living a results-oriented faith, start living an obedience-oriented faith. And instead of you and your spouse sitting around and arguing with each other about the results, well, there ain't no result. Well, it's your fault. It's my fault. Could be your fault. Probably is your fault. Usually is your fault. Where's the results? Where's the results? Where's the results? Why don't you sit around and just talk about how obedient you're being? Are we being obedient? We are. I'm doing everything I know what to do. I mean, I've scoured that word. I've prayed. I've sought God. Is there anything you think we're not doing? No, I think we're doing. I mean, I'm not saying we're perfect people, but I think we love the Lord. I believe we're putting Him first. And I can't think of anything we're not doing right. Then you know what? Then a big smile ought to creep on your face. Well, you know what? We're doing exactly, and we are exactly where we're supposed to be then, at this point in time right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's be happy. You know what I mean? That ought to help somebody. Hopefully that will help you. That'll keep a couple of you couples from killing each other. And that's going to keep one or two of you out of a deep depression. Yep. Well, I love the Lord with all my heart, but I don't know what's wrong with my relationship with Him. Well, what do you mean? Well, I don't know. I do everything right. And it's the results. Well, God's responsible for the results, isn't He?
Yes.
Okay. He just told you to love Him with all your heart, and all, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're doing that, you are a success. So stop questioning your success. We are successful. Amen. Stop questioning it and stop gauging it in the way the world gauges it.
That's right.
Because that's how the world gauges it. Well, aren't results important in the kingdom? They sure are, but I know who brings them to pass.
Amen.
That's God. My job. Let's talk about my job. My job is to be obedient.
Amen.
All right? The results, if they're real results, and man can produce results that look good, but real, true results that are kingdom-oriented come from one place, and that's from Him.
Amen.
And they'll stand the test of time. All right, so let's go back over that, and we'll quit. To advance in the kingdom, what do you need to do? You need to realize that nothing is unimportant. You need to understand as well that you need to stop looking for a better opportunity and use the one you have. And number 3, don't get your head stuck in the fence looking at someone else's pasture.